Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And it's October 15th, 2024. We are mid-October already. And what we're going to do on this show is we are going to look at the cosmic dance, the astrology, for the week ahead and beyond. And if you're paying attention, this includes a full moon in Aries, which is happening on Thursday, October 17th. And also on that same day, we have Venus, which is that planet of values, relationships, love, romance, and what we find attractive. Venus is moving into Sagittarius, also on Thursday. So midweek, we got some stuff going on. In fact, it's a pretty busy week overall, but that's the day where lots of stuff is going on. And on this show, we try to cover as many things as possible. And I know many of you listen to Mark Hessen's show on Monday and some of the other astrologers. So you'll get all these bits and pieces as you listen to 12 Radio. But I want to remind you always that in Mark's Power Peak, which is that free online newsletter, you can read my article that pretty much details almost everything that's going on in the cosmos, or at least everything that I think has some significant impact that week. And of course, when I say significant, that's according to my opinion, right? There's so many things going on all the time. But I encourage you to sign up for it and get that Power Peak, because it also has a lot of other articles that are not astrology based. There's some spiritual and metaphysical and sometimes just some opinion pieces. You know, what's going on for somebody that's an advisor with 12 Listen or, you know, part of the 12 family. So I would encourage you to sign up for that and read it. And, you know, you can just even open it up, at, you know, when you've got a little time and read one of the articles. So just make sure that you have that available to you if you want it. And certainly if you're one of those people, you like to know, where's the moon today? Because, of course, the moon represents our emotional expression, not necessarily our feelings. And when I say that, I'm differentiating them, because we all have feelings. We all get angry, or we all get happier, we have joy, or we have a whole variety of feelings. But the way we show them is emotion. And the moon is the planet that most clearly represents or is associated with the way we express those emotions. And in fact, something just happened this week, and I don't remember what the particulars were, but it was a situation where somebody was talking about, you know, emotional expression, or they didn't call it that, but they were just talking about, you know, kind of a high level of drama. And whatever it was just, to me, it was a really good example, because everybody was involved. I mean, a number of people were involved, but they were showing their emotions in very different ways. And that is one of the wonderful things about astrology, is kind of differentiating that and realizing, just because somebody isn't flying in high drama, or just because somebody isn't talking about their emotions or their feelings or sharing, doesn't mean they don't have the feelings. It just means the way they emote. And, you know, quite frankly, we have those 12 signs. The moon, when a person is born, can be in one of those 12 signs. And those are divided into four elements. So you can imagine a person with a fire moon can be very different than a person with a moon in water, which might be introspective. It might also be a very, very sensitive and vulnerable kind of person when it comes to emotional expression. Or those air people, and they're talking about their emotions, or they're analyzing them, they're putting them out that way. Or the earthy people, which to me are kind of the strong, silent types. But boy, when you get them riled up, you're never going to forget it, because it's kind of like an earthquake. But people have different kinds of emotions. And see, that ties in very much to what we're talking about with the full moon. Because as you can imagine, a full moon is and can be kind of a wild energy, because it's the moon reflecting the maximum, you know, amount of light that it can during its cycle, that light that it's reflecting from the sun. So there again, depending on the sign that it's in, and this week it's in Aries, it's in fire. So you can imagine there could be high drama with that. Not necessarily, but there could be. So this is a relatively busy week. And as I look at it, and you all know, I pull cards and I look at all the astrology involved. And by the time I spend that process and write my article for Mark's Power Peak, I kind of have this sense about what is the story of the week. And that's how I come up with what I call the themes or, the ideas, the mantras, that kind of thing. So this week, I definitely think the theme is individual versus shared interests. Now, that's a common theme in our world. I mean, let's face it, isn't that so much what everything is about? Is how are we pacing ourselves? How are we seeing ourselves in juxtaposition with other people? But this week, there's a number of things that keep bringing that theme up. And, not the least of which is the full moon in Aries. Aries, the first sign of the zodiac, the one that says me, 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 me. It's the child. It's the birth of the zodiac. You don't expect a one-year-old to be going, "I wonder how mom's feeling today," right? The one-year-old or the baby is just saying, "I'm hungry. I'm wet. I need this. I need that." And in fact, I had the opportunity this past week to be with an 18-month-old. And boy, she was just a ball of fire and just so incredibly cute and verbal. I could not believe how verbal she was. But just that reminder of what, in a sense, what Aries energy is. And I say Aries because it's the baby of the zodiac. So it's like, I want this. And because she was verbal, she was always asking for water, or she wanted milk, or she'd even say, and she's not potty trained, but she'd say caca, which meant that her diaper was wet or dirty, and she wanted a diaper change. So, she was always giving instructions no matter what. She was always out there saying exactly what she was feeling. In fact, I should look at her chart and see where her moon and maybe her Mercury, because she was so verbal, see where those things are. But see, a baby isn't, they're tuning into a mother or a father or a guardian or somebody else. And I'm not saying they don't care at all, but let's face it, that's not their agenda. Their agenda, in those first year or so is survival. They're trying to establish themselves. So it's not like, how's everybody else feeling? In fact, if they have a sibling, it takes them a while to even figure out how to play with that sibling or, what that, they start working out that relationship. So Aries is very much about individuality. What do I want? How do I challenge myself? What's going to make me happy? I need to be out there doing something. And Libra, which is where the sun is going to be this week, or where the sun is this week, and it's going to be during the full moon. Well, Libra is exactly the opposite of Aries. It's the sign that says us and how we are together, community, how we, and also, by the way, how we, it's associated with justice. So it's how do we relate to each other in a fair and equitable and just way in the world? So that's why definitely individual versus shared themes is definitely coming up this week, those shared interests. But some of the other sub themes that I think we'll see or that are coming up, and I'll suggest them to you, and you see how they come up for you. One is that, and this has to do with that full moon as well, we're at a crossroads. I think a number of us are going to see that there could be some pivotal turning points, maybe a fork in the road. There's choices between paths. And we're going to see, because once again, that light of the moon symbolically means that something's dawning on our consciousness too. We see what something has become, or maybe we see what the possibilities are. But this is the point in the cycle where we take those new moon intentions and we see what they've become. We've seen what we were able to do with them. And so the maximum light is out there showing us something. And so, therefore, maybe we're looking a little further ahead and we see that we're at a crossroads of some sort. And some of the tools or some of the ideas that I think will be important to remember this week, because we've got that high energy, we've got the moon in Aries for 3 days, starting like early afternoon today and through Thursday afternoon, we have the moon in Aries. So once again, I want to be active. I want to do something. And I'll tell you, the funny kind of thing about Aries is, boy, if they don't have something to challenge them, if that energy doesn't have somewhere to go, it's not being channeled, then they like to fight. So if you ever find yourself just picking a fight and you don't even know why, you might kind of look at that moon, because that moon says, I need a challenge. You know, I need to test my skills. I need to spar with somebody. So when you're thinking about this week, especially in the middle of the week, you know, I call it hit the gym. But that's just symbolic, because you may or may not really want to go to the gym. But if you have something that you do physical, like you like to run or swim or hike or, you know, play some kind of a, you know, tennis or pickleball or any of those things, make sure that this is a week that, if at all possible, you're not just sitting around. You're not just sitting behind a desk, or you're not sitting too much, because this is a week when you're going to want to have something, not only to challenge yourself, like maybe hitting that ball back and forth, you know, or, and maybe you're just practicing. Maybe you're not even playing it, you're just practicing. But just being able to get out the physical energy. Because remember that the emotional and the physical is very highly tied together. And you know, sometimes if you're upset and you go do something very, very physical, two things can happen. Not only can you kind of expel some of that energy, but you also emotionally, I find I'm working it out. Even if I'm not, I don't think I'm thinking about it, that I'm working it out somehow in my head. You know, and then I go, oh, something comes to me. Something, you know, comes along and I recognize a solution that I didn't even know that I knew about. You know, something just, it just comes up. So I would encourage you to think about it that way too, that just give it a try, especially if you've got something that is just going round and round in your head. So try that. So here's what I'm suggesting for this week. Hit the gym, be physical. But another good balance to that is remember your spiritual practices and your metaphysical tools. This is also a good week. There's a number of indicators that kind of tying into that Neptunian energy, tying into that spirituality and knowing that there's something beyond the physical is going to be important. So some of those spiritual practices, if you're looking, you may see some things, coming to center for you, or you recognize how something is really helpful, and maybe it hasn't been in the past. And you know, don't overdo it in terms of really judging yourself or putting yourself in a little box. I got to do this every single day. I got to meditate for 30 minutes or whatever it is. Allow those to just be your tools. Allow that to be there for you. And one thing too that kind of keeps coming up is be a problem solver. And I say that because, once again, sometimes I'm observing myself or other people, and I recognize how often, you could almost swear, well, you know, you're not looking for the solution. You're just looking for another problem. You're just looking for a way that this is going to break down and that this isn't going to work and that sort of thing. So, you know, kind of set yourself up and just say, I'm going to be the architect of solutions this week. That's what I'm going to do, because you know what? Life is always going to present those things to us. In fact, you know, I was thinking that, and I'll give you this example too. I think in some ways it's kind of cute. You know, this is just the way the world is designed, the earth. You know, it kind of wears out, has to be revised. No matter what you do, there's always going to be something, right? The dripping faucet. Last year I had a dripping faucet in the backyard, and actually I didn't even know that was dripping, so I'd lost quite a bit of water before I figured it out. Got it fixed, no big deal, call the plumber, they come in and they do it. But I looked out the window last week, and I see this little shining like sparkle, and I'm like, what is that? And I go out, and it was a drop of water that was literally just hanging kind of in the air off of the faucet that's in the front. And I could see it from my front window. So I thought, okay, here we go again. And, you know, because the faucet is relatively shut off. You know, I can't get it any tighter. So I recognize, and I think the water here is very, very hard. So I think minerals build up or something like that. So I thought, okay, I got to call the plumber. But for the meantime, I thought, but I don't want to waste that water, and I also want to see how much I'm losing. So I put a jar underneath, and then, you know, came back 5-6 hours later to see how much water was in the jar, and it wasn't much, so it's not too bad of a leak. But this is the real sweetness about it, though. When I came back, there was a toad sitting underneath that faucet. And even though I put the jar there, he had just sidled up, you know, to where that, you know, there was a little water in the rock. And it had become, you know, because the faucet had obviously been dripping very, very slowly, but he had found this little oasis for himself of water. And I just thought, I don't know, it just made my heart smile. My lips too, but I just think it is so sweet that he just found that one place in the yard that was not just, in a sense, devastatingly dry. Now, I think probably he had been in the shrubs or somewhere where the irrigation system had been going off. So that's probably how he was staying alive to the, you know, in the beginning, is staying in the shade and staying someplace where at least occasionally the water came on. But this little guy somehow found that dripping faucet, and he's now been out there for 4 or 5 days. And at first I was keeping the jar there and then taking the water and pouring it on the plants. And then yesterday I moved it because I thought, you know what, this was his little place and I'm just going to let the water drip on him. Because like I said, it's actually very, very little water, like, you know, a few ounces that's coming out every day. So, you know, I am going to call the plumber, but there is a part of me that thinks I don't even want to call the plumber because this little guy has obviously found his little oasis and I don't want to disturb that. But, you know, and that's not exactly being a problem solver, but it just made me think, see, within everything, there can be a sweetness. There can be a story. There can be something that just sweetness. That's it. So I thought I'd share that little story with you. So this week, hit the gym. Keep those spiritual practices. Be a problem solver, and don't forget to just pace yourself. You know, stop and smell the flowers, because once again, that little toad, he looks like a rock, and he's not that little. He's probably about 3 inches across, but he's exactly the color of the rock. And at first, I mean, I could have even been missing him the first few days I was out there looking at the water. So, you know, it's like, stop and smell the flowers. Stop and smell the toads. See what's going on in front of you. All right. So as we look at this overview, let's talk a little bit more about that full moon that's going to be Thursday morning. And it is early. It's 4:26 a.m. That's Pacific time. But of course, what that means is we're going to have a glorious view for a couple of nights, you know, kind of on either side of it. So, you know, don't forget, if you can, get out there on Wednesday and look at that full moon, and then again on Thursday evening. And Venus changes that day. It's going to leave what I call psychologically complex Scorpio, and it's going to jump into Sagittarius, which is also fire energy, like the Aries. So once again, a little bit of drama, a little bit of excitement there. And as I look at some of the other things going on this week, it's not a surprise. Many of them, to me, they really do weave themselves into a particular message or into a story. And another idea that I was thinking about is they're not exactly the same theme, but they're very similar. And that's kind of like a piece of classical music where, you know, there's variations and there's movements. And they all seem to come together, even though they're not identical, but they all seem to work together in a relatively cohesive theme. Well, this week especially, I think that is what the cosmos is doing. And of course, it's all started by the energy around the Aries-Libra axis, which is the individual versus shared interest. But then there's these other little sub-themes, these other things coming off, and we'll talk about those too. So, starting, actually, some things happened on Monday, yesterday. The Libra Sun, which, and remember, the Sun is always representing ego in astrology, individuality. And when I say ego, don't think kind of the judgmental, negative, spiritual, or psychological. It is psychological, but we all have an integrity around us of who we believe that we are. That is the Sun. That is the ego. And quite honestly, if we didn't have a body, we wouldn't need the ego. But because we live on a very physical planet and we have a body, there is a certain amount of integrity that we need to keep around who we think we are, where our boundaries are. And those are not only physical, they are psychological and emotional as well. So, but what happened yesterday is the Libra Sun squared, that means a conflict, with Mars in Cancer. So already there might have been, you know, you might have noticed some link dynamics. And see, here again, that's some of what's going on this week is the sun is very active. The sun is squaring Mars. It did it yesterday. Then it's going to be in a relationship, obviously, with the moon on Thursday with, you know, what's going on there. It's also going to be in conjunct Uranus on Friday and in conjunct Neptune on Sunday. So see, as I looked at this, I thought, see, there's a number of interactions that the sun is doing. The sun is ego, but the sun is in Libra. So see, that activates the part of the, you know, the axis, or you might even say teeter-totter, that has to do with us. Who are we as a couple? Who are we as a community? Who are we as, you know, as a partnership? See, every time that sun gets activated for all of us, because we're not all Libras, but right now that's where the energy is. And so each of those different interactions this week kind of sets off another piece of the theme or something else for us to look at. So see, that it just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up this week, that we have to look at shared interests. And what does that really mean? And even thinking about some of those things, are we willing to sacrifice anything for shared interests? You know, for the group, what's the best thing for the group? You know, how do I really feel about that? And in fact, Jay and I were talking before the show today because I just had this little moment of sadness realizing how bad the water situation is here. And I was looking in my yard and thinking, is it going to come to the place where I'm not going to be able to have the plants anymore because there's just not going to be the water? Now, see, that would be individual interest versus shared. It makes me very sad trying to figure out how am I going to balance that out. I don't want to have a yard that's all rock. I want to have some plants, but it's not just about me. It's about a shared resource, which is water. So how do I balance those things? And how do I keep my peace of mind? You know, the equity over that, of not using more than my share of the water, even though I want plants in my yard, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm laughing, but you know, it made me sad when I thought about it, but that's kind of an example. Same kind of thing. It's easy for me to go, you know what? I want plants in my yard. And, you know, a few years ago when I took the grass out, the water department said, this is how many plants I could have in the yard. And I did it. And now, you know, they don't want me to water them because I don't get enough water to do that. You know, it's one of those things in life. We balance it back and forth all the time. So another thing that happened yesterday, Venus. In fact, maybe this is kind of what set off this thinking. Venus was in opposition to Uranus, and Uranus is individuality, and Uranus is about, I don't like limitations. I don't want somebody else telling me what to do. I want to have pretty plants in my yard, right? So maybe that is part of what set that off. But once again, that's part of the theme that we're talking about this week. Is what do I want versus, you know, because that Uranus just said, I want to rebel against some rules. Water department says I can water this many times a week for this many minutes. And, you know, and I don't like that. Maybe I should call them up and tell them what I think, you know, that kind of thing. So if you were feeling any of that yesterday, that might have been partially what it was, because that was the mood in the cosmos. So Venus just saying, you know what, don't fence me in, people. And I'll tell you what, you'll see this theme working out because Venus is going to move into Sagittarius. And what is she saying when she does that? Don't give me boundaries. Don't fence me in. Give me some space. I need to breathe. So see, this is how these themes all seem to work out if you're looking at them. You see how the different pieces of the puzzle all come together. They're different voices. They're slightly different versions, but they seem to be coming together in a particular week or a month, or you see how they weave together. So that Venus opposing, you know, Uranus was really saying, how do I keep myself happy and keep you happy too? And really making me question on a deeper level, do I really want to? You know, what's my attachment to having what I want versus being a team player? So as we move on to Tuesday, one of the things I really want to point out today is that Venus in Scorpio is moving into what I consider a spectacular beneficial trine to Neptune in Pisces. And I point that out, it does it a few times a year, so it's not like it's rare, but it is really special. Venus is that planet of love and romance and attraction, what I find attractive, and Neptune is, in a sense, a higher level of Venus, because that's more love on an agape version, you know, or on a level of, you know, really tapping into mass consciousness. And so when I see Venus and Neptune in a really good, you know, position with each other, I love it. It feels good. In fact, what came to mind when I first saw that in my book was good vibrations. You know, and then from Good Vibrations, I went Beach Boys, you know, and kind of thinking about the lyrics to that song, because these are really good vibrations. Because when it comes to love and romance, this is the energy that makes us think of a match made in heaven. You know, it literally helps us fly above just the mundane version of what is love into soulmates and idyllic love and that kind of thing. It's when we feel like somehow we've met somebody and it's an out-of-body experience, or it's an out-of-this-world experience. Boy, this is something really special. This is true love. And because there's water signs involved, you know, we have Venus in Scorpio, Neptune in Pisces, the passions are very strong, and it's very visceral, you know, in our bodies. This is emotional, and this is the kind of energy sometimes when something happens under this kind of a combination, we feel like it's fate. You know, we might even say, oh, it's meant to be. This is how I met this person or whatever. And Neptune also has that kind of fairy tale ambiance associated with it, or sometimes it could be spiritual, like I've met my spiritual match or a spiritual, you know, maybe in fact it becomes a spiritual experience, whether or not it's another person or, you know, meditating, you know, and coming to something. So the vibes are really good tonight for that. So there again, if you want to go out with somebody, if you really want to take a relationship to a newer level, just, you know, this is a good energy for it. You know, it's definitely very, very good. However, there's a couple of caveats that I want to mention. And that is that it's going to take a whole lot more than just Venus and Neptune aligning to make a healthy relationship. So try not to get so crazy and going, oh, well, I met this person or this happened under this. So it's just got to be perfect. It's got to be a match made in heaven. Not necessarily true. I mean, it really helps. It really helps, but it doesn't make everything perfect. The other thing is, you know, we have to look at ourselves. Where are we in the process? You know, if we have resistance or if we're kind of nursing an old hurt or regret, we may not be able to take on a new opportunity. We may be suspicious of it. And in fact, remember the Aries moon is out there and it's actually in an uncomfortable connection to Venus tonight. You know, and so what it may do is it may make us a little more suspicious of somebody that ordinarily we would have been really open to. So, you know, think of it that way too. And also, there's a couple other things I want to say on this level, is that I think this kind of energy can work on multiple levels. Because, you know, sometimes when I hear myself or somebody else going, oh yeah, love, 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 romance, it's like, well, okay, enough already. What else can it do for me? You know, maybe that's not the top thing on your agenda. You know, I mean, it's just not necessarily. So you go, what else can it do for me? Well, this is the kind of energy. Remember, it's about attraction. So this kind of energy can help a broken heart, because it can help heal it. It can also really unleash creative and expressive energies, and it can amp up our ability to attract something we really desire in our lives. And think about it. Is there something that you really want to attract a different kind of partnership? Maybe it's a new job, or maybe it's a new occupation in general. Maybe it's a whole new way of spending your time. Maybe it's a friend or a group of like-minded souls. Maybe it's a new cause, or it's some kind of new interest or passion. So there's lots of things. The way when we use Venus to attract, it doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic partner. It can be something else. It's something that's valuable, something that we want in our lives. But remember, today and tonight, if you're meeting interesting people, or if there's something that comes into your life, it could be operating on a much deeper and broader level than just a love interest, or just an, you know, I shouldn't say just an intimate partner, but this could be something that really comes into your life, like a book, an idea that is going to stick with you for a long time. And you may look back and say, truly, yeah, that changed my life. That was a soulmate idea. That was a soulmate book. You know, that was a change for me. That significantly improved that. You know, partnering myself with that person, with that idea, with that group, with whatever, with that restaurant, whatever it is. You know, maybe you learn to like something new on a, you know, restaurant menu. You tried the kale smoothie or whatever. You know, there's lots of ways that that energy can play out. So as we start looking, though, Thursday morning, because Wednesday's good, but, you know, there's not a lot going on Wednesday other than that, the Aries moon, so active. But Thursday morning, this is what makes the dynamic of the full moon even more dynamic than usual. The sun is at 24 Libra. It opposes the moon at 24 Aries. Chiron, the wounded healer, is sitting at 21 Aries, pretty darn close to the moon. So that opens up all kinds of healing opportunities. But it also, remember, because it's sitting so close to the moon, then it's opposing the sun. And we have Mars, the planet of energy, the planet of action, motivation. It's sitting over in Cancer. And remember, Cancer is that nurturing, family-oriented kind of energy that is all, you know, it's also about security and protection and you know, keeping track of things in terms of, you know, elevating your tribe, elevating your family, taking care of it, nurturing it. But Mars in Cancer, all of these, notice, are cardinal. They're cardinal signs. So what's happening here is we have a grand square, also called a grand cross, in those cardinal signs. They initiate, they push, they're groundbreaking, they make things happen. So the sun and the moon in Chiron between Aries and Libra, Mars sitting in Cancer, and then what else do we have? Pluto, the transformer, sitting at 29 Capricorn. So we've got that perfect grand, well, I shouldn't say perfect grand cross, because they're not all at 24 degrees, but they are all in range. So it really is a grand cross, a grand square. So we've got that sun and moon opposing each other, and both of them are squaring Mars and Pluto. And Mars is opposing Pluto. So you've got that dynamic little teeter-totter going on in there. And then you've got Chiron as part of it. So, you know, and when you think about it, all full moons tend to represent revelations. Because once again, all that light, you know, we often come to aha moments with a full moon because something comes into our consciousness that we didn't see before. And sometimes full moons can coincide with situations really moving to a climax or to a significant turning point. Remember, I talked about those crossroads. So that grand square emphasizes those crossroads even more than just the full moon itself. So look for important decisions because they might be imminent at this time. And another analogy, we're not going to go into great detail, but if there's any baseball fans out there, well, this is like bases are loaded and batter up. And when I think of that, that is what a grand cross or a grand square makes me think of, because it's that tension. Whatever happens on one of those bases is going to affect the others as well, for the most part. Now, I know technically somebody could get thrown out at third or something like that, but you get the drift. So, you know, we're all watching. We're holding our breath. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with this batter? Because that's going to force almost everybody else, those other three, to do something. And that's what you've got, because these planets are all connected in oppositions and squares. And once again, they're cardinal. And that moon and Chiron and Aries, they're going, no time to waste. It's eager. It's restless kind of energy. But it's also interesting, and this is where you tie the pieces of astrology together, because Aries as a sign is ruled by Mars. And see, Mars is involved in this little, you know, setup as well. So Mars is sitting over in Cancer. And so once again, when I was talking about shared interests, we might even be torn between the shared interests of a partner, a significant other, and family. And once again, you know, family dynamics. I mean, I saw it just a couple of days ago where, you know, the integrity of the partnership and what they wanted was at odds with what the in-laws wanted or the extended family. So see, it's not always just, I guess, kosher. You know, there's all those kind of things. And so once again, sometimes as humans, we're making these choices. Who do I align with? You know, the people in the relationship, you know, is he going to align with his mom and dad? Is he going to align with his wife? You know, if there's a disparity between what everybody wants, how's this going to work out? And so we have different alliances. So it's not always just simple and easy to figure out how to balance shared interests versus individual interests. And in that case, and then does it become, in a sense, the individual interests of the partnership? They become, in a sense, one. And then it's something with the family going on. So, you know, it's just a when I use the word dynamic, I'm certainly using it in the kind of the physics sense. Things are moving around. They're all attached and nothing happens to one without something happening to somebody else. But these are choices that we don't always see all the repercussions. So it's just more a sense of recognizing, you know, I, for one, I want things to be black and white. I do. I just want it to be easy. But you know what? Most of the time it's not. Especially with Venus in Scorpio, who's going deep, 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 looking for all the psychological and the emotional connections. So we got some dynamic energy this week, especially with that full moon on Thursday. And as I said, because the moon is sitting next to Chiron, I think that does open up lots of opportunities for greater personal awareness, for healing. And when I say healing, I want to, you know, this is an idea that I think comes out this week too, on several levels, is that we think in concrete levels, but they're not really concrete and separate. So if we have a physical healing, that may also occur on a mental or spiritual level as well. Or if we have an emotional healing, that may translate and seep right into a physical healing or a spiritual or mental healing as well. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't have to understand exactly how it all works. You don't have to know how all the pieces are connected. But the truth is, if there's a healing going on one level, then you can expect it to spread into other dimensions. And that also has to do with, you know, I notice the sun and the moon are also in positive connections during the full moon, especially, but this week, to retrograding Jupiter in Gemini. So in this case, the sun in Libra is trine Jupiter. The moon is sextile. Those are positive connections. Now, what that suggests to me, though, especially because Jupiter is retrograde at this point, so we're, in a sense, we're honing down the ideas instead of expanding, just pushing and pushing and one more. We're trying to kind of hone it down. We're trying to look and see what's the most important. We're trying to just, you know, simplify. Well, that suggests, once again, that we don't have to understand all the details. We don't have to just analyze something to ad nauseum. We can just kind of relax into it and see what the message is for us. So maybe that retro Jupiter is helping us simplify what are the messages coming to us through the full moon. And it's a time for inner reflection on what gives our lives meaning, because that's Jupiter. Jupiter's a planet that helps us align with that. What makes my life feel more meaningful? You know, because sometimes we get all caught up in lots of action, doing stuff. But is it stuff you really want to do, or are you just doing it because, oh yeah, well, I do this, I do that, I swim every day, I walk every day, I do blah, blah, blah. Well, is it meaningful to you? And see, once again, we have the opportunity, especially with Jupiter retro, to kind of look at that and go, what are the things that are really meaningful? Can I kind of slice it down to what is the stuff that really makes me feel happy or content or like life has meaning? So now we're going to move on to Venus a little bit more, what she's doing on Thursday, because she's moving into Sag. But once again, I like to look at the full picture. So right before the full moon, early in the morning on Thursday, Venus is in the very last degree of Scorpio. And like I said, Scorpio is a wonderful sign. You know, but it's deep, it's intense. It wants to understand everything. I want to know your motivation. What are you really doing? What's your purpose here? What are you really thinking? And, you know, it's a lot of, I always think of it as spelunking. You know, that whole idea of exploring caves and underwater places, that's Scorpio. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to form an alliance with transformational Pluto early that morning. And you know what Pluto is? It's not only transformation, it's elimination. Eliminating the unnecessary. And because it's sitting in Capricorn, which has to do with responsibility, I'm kind of looking at that connection between Venus and Pluto and thinking, this is about reminding ourselves to take responsibility for our passions, for our choices and our actions and our attractions. So see, when a planet, right before it leaves a sign, makes an important connection, I just think it's also it's almost like marching orders, or it's like wrapping it up. Okay, what did you learn? What did you learn during this process? So here's Pluto, ruler, by the way, of Scorpio, kind of having a meeting, a sit down with Venus. And then Venus, what does she do a few hours later? She moves into Sagittarius. And remember, too, that every sign corrects for whatever the excesses were for the sign before. So I think what happens is Venus, you know, she takes that meeting with Pluto and she goes, okay, what can I eliminate? You know, how can I come back to the surface, you know, come up for air, so to speak, and lighten up? That's part of what's happening here. And so when she moves into Sagittarius, it's like we all kind of come into this place of Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. It wants adventure. It wants to have experiences. And commitment is not really in its dictionary. Let's put it that way. And there again, because it's coming out of this very intense, you know, do or die kind of energy of Venus and Scorpio. So I think even people who are in committed partnerships, what happens when Venus moves into Sag, they go, I just want some more freedom and I want some more fun. Can, you know, let's lighten up. And so it doesn't mean you break up. It just means, hey, let's lighten up. Let's have some new experiences. Because limits, you know, if you've been talking about limits or rules or regulations for your relationship, that's going to be a dirty word when Venus is in Sagittarius through November, I think 11th. So recognize that even, you know, if somebody starts balking, if somebody starts going, no, we're not doing that anymore. I'm changing this up. That is just Venus moving through freedom-loving Sagittarius, you know, and she wants to kind of let go of some of the intensity and the excessiveness of Scorpio that way. So we want to be free of social responsibility. There again, if we've been doing something like, okay, I got to do this, I've made this promise, got to do this. See, we want to just go, hey, can I just take a break from this? I don't want to drive the, you know, the Meals on Wheels or whatever it is. I just want to have a little break. I want less personal commitments for a few weeks. That's what I want. And it's still very social. I mean, Sagittarius can be very social, but sometimes not quite as much as some of the other signs. You know, sometimes it really is, I want to go off on my own. I want to check things out. Remember, Sagittarius is the truth-seeking sign. I want to find the truth. I want to have an experience. But it's also about, it's very like Gemini, which is its opposite sign. I want to taste. I want to test. I want to have experiences. I don't want to be making promises. I want to try some things out. Then I'll make promises later. That's not what I want to do right now. So I think sometimes when, or right now, when Venus moves into Sag on Thursday, you know, we might have this sense of somebody comes to us with a plan or a program and you go, is this going to be like a long, steady, sustained effort? Now, you're not exactly going to say that, but you're looking at it going, oh my God, I'm not sure I want to make this promise right now. I'm not sure I want to make this commitment. Well, then honor that. Because it's only going to be a few weeks before you're going to be into another place. Because guess what? The next stop is going to be Capricorn. And you know what Capricorn is about? Being responsible, making promises, making commitments. And so don't despair if you're one of those people and you're out there sitting and you're thinking, oh my God, but I've been waiting for this. You know, I've been waiting for this promise, or I've been waiting for somebody, you know, a commitment. Somebody said they're finally going to come through on this. And here again, it doesn't have to be just on the level of intimate relationships. Maybe it's something financial. You know, Venus is very much about finances too, what we find meaningful. So if you're waiting for some kind of a commitment or, you know, something to happen that you've been waiting for, you know, it's probably going to happen when Venus goes into Capricorn, or at least it could be, because that's when, there again, Capricorn is going to correct for the excess of Sagittarius, which is, don't tie me down. Give me my freedom. Let me go where I want to go. Let me have some adventures. And there's going to be an added bonus, because when Venus goes into Capricorn, it's just a few days later that Saturn, which is Capricorn's ruling planet, is going to end a long-term retrograde period. So when I see those two things happening, once again, that's a trend in the week, which, like I said, that's like around the 11th of, you know, mid-November. That's when you're going to see all of a sudden something does come to completion. Somebody either makes the decision or they don't make the decision. You'll see some of those things happening. Now, also, though, say, I want to hedge that a little bit, because one of the things that we're going to see the first week of December is Mars is going to go retrograde. And I want you to all have that kind of in the back of your minds. That's a heads up. When Mars moves retrograde, which it will, I think, on the 6th of December, it'll be retrograde through about, not quite the end of February, like the 24th, something like that. But in my personal opinion, when I see Mars retrograde, I pay attention, because to me, the best analogy I've ever heard is it's like Jell-O. Something doesn't gel if it gets initiated with Mars retro. So something that you've already been working on, I'm not saying it's going to fall apart or it's not going to come together. But when I see people trying to start something new, put something together, all I'm going to say is I think it takes more time than usual, because there's something about the foundation that is faulty. You don't have the right recipe for the concrete, or you've missed a step. And so, just like all the other retrogrades, I think it's an opportunity to go back to the plans and figure out what's going on. So that's my hesitation, is I don't want to put it out there that, oh, if you're waiting for a promise or, you know, an engagement or something like that, it's going to be just perfect at the end of November, because I know we're moving into that retrograde. So there may be the promise, but maybe not the wedding until the spring of 2025. So that could be it too. You know, that yes, we finally come into those commitments when Saturn is, you know, out of its retrograde and Venus is in Capricorn. But I just want to be a little hesitant, knowing that Mars is going to go retrograde, and say, okay, let's plan accordingly. Now, once again, lives don't stop because a planet goes retrograde. And you might even say, well, we've got four or five planets retrograde now, CA. Why, you know, why are you all of a sudden harking on Mars? Well, it's because Mars doesn't go retrograde every year. Mars only retrogrades like every 18 months to 2 years. So see, when a planet like Mars goes retrograde, I pay attention, because it's not part of our everyday, every year experience. It is a little out of the ordinary. So just heads up, Mars is going to retrograde the first week of December. And we'll talk a whole lot more about that. But once again, going back to Venus, you know, when we look at Venus in Sagittarius, I think it's some of, you know, when I look for quotes of people that have that, I always think it's just so incredibly funny, because, you know, I just find comedians and people that say things that just sound so perfect. But this person is not a comedian. Somebody who does have both Sun and Venus in Sagittarius is Winston Churchill. And he still has some great quotes, though, that strike me, that there's still Venus and Sag. And he says, success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Now, see, that's the buoyancy of Sagittarius, of Jupiter, that, you know, it's not the end of the process. I'm going to just keep going. No loss of enthusiasm, no matter how many times you fail. Now, another one, and I love this one, George Balanchine, who was a famous choreographer, mostly ballet, I think, but he was a very famous choreographer, I believe, in New York. And he said this, why are you stingy with yourselves? Why are you holding back? What are you saving for? For another time? There's no other times. There's only now, right now. Now, that sounds like Venus or another planet, but Venus in Sagittarius. Mark Twain was born with Venus in Sagittarius. And he says, I love this one. My advice to girls, first, don't smoke to excess. Second, don't drink to excess. Third, don't marry to excess. So, see, once again, you know, he was a funny writer, and you probably know that a lot of what he did, he was almost like a traveling journalist. Travel was a really big thing to him, and he wrote stories as he traveled the world. And so a lot of his quotes about travel really reflect that Sagittarian adventurer, like this one. Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all of one's lifetime. He also said, I found out that there ain't no surer way to find out whether you like people or hate them than to travel with them. And he also said, the worst loneliness is to not be comfortable with yourself. So some really great quotes in there again. Venus in Sagittarius. George Burns, Venus in Sagittarius, said, happiness, a good cigar, a good meal, and a good woman. Or a bad woman, it depends on how much happiness you can handle. So once again, fun, adventurous, funny. And Ruth Gordon, you remember her? She was an actress, was up for Academy Awards a couple of times, and I think won once. But she was, in her older years, or in her elder years, she played Maud in Harold and Maude. That's what I'll never forget her for. But she said, never give up, and never, under any circumstances, face the facts. So I love that. That sounds kind of like, you know, a Sagittarian thing to say. So, as we are wrapping up the show, I know I just have 1 minute. I would just say, you know, we also have that sun. I'm sorry I didn't talk too much about it, but check out the Power Peak for sun in conjunct Uranus and in conjunct Neptune on Sunday, because those, once again, those are those energies. They're conflicting with us as an ego and maybe as a partnership because the sun is in Libra. So what are we thinking? How are we revising our opinion or our thoughts about who we are as a person or as a partnership? You know, what does that do? But there's going to be some little edgy energy there, okay? Or, you know, that's what it's going to be. So we do have that Aries Libra axis. We are thinking very much about where do I want to be on this teeter-totter? You know, where do I want to be in terms of personal, individual versus shared interests? Keep that in mind this week and think about it, or just let it just teach you whatever it's going to teach you. Make sure that you've got time in your schedule for personal development and spiritual practices, self-reflection of some sort, and exercise. Get your body out there. Give your body opportunities to move. Okay, well, that's a wrap. Everybody, thank you very much for listening, and thank you for coming into the chat room. I was there at the very beginning of the show, and then Facebook kicked me out. So I have a running battle with them, and I'm not sure how I'll ever fix that. So I guess I'm not attracted, and maybe that's it. But in any case, thank you for doing that. I'll get on later today and see if I can find the post that people put into that chat room. All right. thanks to Jay Varvel for being here today, and I really hope that you will stay tuned, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, and this is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. I do encourage you to, you know, if I'm not available, just ask for a call back or schedule a call on a day and a time that's good for you. We can arrange something. I almost promise we can arrange something. So if you want to connect with me, that's a good way to do it. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.